Chapter 10. Unbalanced. Miranda sat on the small stairs leading up to the lodge. She watched the intricate patterns drawn on the ground by Neil as he worked to improve the magic circle, a massive formation covering tens of meters all around the lodge. Hank was working with Kristen to make him a better axe. She was a blacksmith and was more than happy to help when he asked, though Miranda was pretty sure the young woman just felt terrible about the situation she had put him and his two kids in. Silas meditated as he did most of the time. He had managed to finally get rid of Kristen's cursed wound the day before and was now able to rest for the first time since she'd gotten the injury. Mark had chosen to accompany him, as he had been following the man around to learn how to be a better healer. Louise had spent most of her time making pits and overall warping the environment around them. She had a skill that allowed her to do some minor terraforming, but it was good enough to improve their natural defenses with enough time. Eleanor hadn't been seen for days. She was the de facto scout of their party and had left to keep track of when the incoming party would come. They knew the direction they were coming from, and she had a few skills to locate people while keeping herself hidden. Levi was the most useless of the bunch, just swinging his sword in the air, trying to get in every second of training possible. Maybe hoping for some miraculous last-minute skill upgrade, or perhaps just a level. Whatever the case, the sense of urgency and desperation was tangible. It was the fourth day since they'd arrived. The enemies could come at any point now. The time had been fruitfully spent overall, as they had more or less prepared as well as they could in this time. Especially Neil, who had put down the large formation to defend them, had made many preparations. The lodge was to be their final stand. The building was constructed by Hank, and his skills enhanced it. It was far more durable than regular wood, and could perhaps offer some form of protection from weaker attacks. They knew the other side had many people, so hopefully it could block some of their ranged attacks at least. Miranda hadn't yet shared her role as a city lord, nor even mentioned the existence of the pylon. It wasn't her place to do so. And she still didn't entirely trust the party of five. Their cooperation was forced due to the circumstances. But if their claims proved to be accurate, then maybe doubling the city population was possible. She had already gotten 3 more levels in the profession and reached 60. This had earned her a few glances, as they were surprised her race level had gone up by 2 so fast. They hadn't asked her, though. They were likely too focused on trying not to die. Upon leveling, she had also earned another skill. She had been offered the one related to creating quests, but had decided to go with one that was a bit more immediate. Its functions were pretty simple. It was a purely defensive skill that allowed her to create a barrier in a small area. She had chosen to share the functionality of this skill with Neil. Neil's barrier was meant to do basically the same, but his used space magic, while hers used pure mana. But from what she had gathered, hers was borderline impenetrable on its own already. As long as it held, that was, and it could only be used around the pylon. So they had 2 defensive barriers and a lodge created by an evolved builder. Bunkering down did seem like a possible tactic if all they had to do was buy time. The problem was that they weren't sure if buying time would lead to anything. The city owner hadn't appeared for several days. In fact, it had now been 9 whole days since any of them saw him. Miranda knew that he still lived, as he was listed as the city owner. Well, with a question mark, but still. All they could do was hope he returned in time. Time slowly ticked by as they trucked on with their final preparations. Miranda had a weird feeling of both wanting them to come and get the torturous wait over with, and for them to be as delayed as possible. Somewhere, deep in her heart, she still hoped that they could negotiate. It didn't sit right with her to hand over Neil and his party, but if that was what she had to do to protect Hank and his children, she was willing to do so. Reluctant, but willing. She had made a promise to help keep them safe to Hank's wife, and she had never fancied herself a liar. Her wish for the wait to be over came true not long after. Eleanor dashed into the camp, yelling, "They're coming!" All the tension that had built up came fully to the forefront. Kristen immediately stopped the hammer and threw it to the ground. She hadn't taken off her armor once since the wound had healed and was already ready to fight. Neil stood up from his kneeling position, also mentally preparing himself for what was to come. Silas exited the lodge with a worried expression, while Levi simply stopped swinging his sword and turned towards where Eleanor had come from. His gaze showed that he was ready. Hank, Louise, and Mark all went to the house as they had planned beforehand. Louise had been given the task of pouring mana into some runes Neil had placed inside the house to strengthen it further, while Mark was their backup healer. Hank himself exited soon after with his axe over his shoulder, concern apparent on his face. "They already have eyes on us," Neil said, as he stood beside Miranda in front of the lodge, all the others behind them.
"I can feel it," she said.
And she could. She had felt that people had entered the area of the pylon earlier. Soon more pings came from her skill, signifying several more people entering. With Neil's group, she hadn't been able to distinguish how many there were. She still couldn't, but the fact that several pings came at once must mean that several groups had entered. That, or one massive group, too big for even her vague skill to recognize it as one. They heard them before they saw them. Several voices emerged alongside the sound of marching, making it clear they didn't even put up the facade of trying to hide. Their scouts, without a doubt, had already relayed that only 9 people resided in the valley. From one of the entrances, Miranda finally saw them. In front was a relatively small woman, or teenager. She didn't look any older than 18 or 19, but the system had made telling age quite a bit harder. Beside her walked a man with a shaved head and black beard. His appearance was very similar to the girl at his side. She, like Neil, wore an embroidered robe of excellent quality. She also wore several pieces of jewelry and appeared to float a few centimeters off the ground. Overall, she gave off an immense sense of danger, and it wasn't hard for Miranda to recognize her as the infamous Abby.
"Nice place you found yourself, cuz," she said, with a big smile, as she looked at Neil and the idyllic waterfall and pond behind the lodge. "Would be a waste to ruin it, wouldn't you agree?" Neil fired back, with a similar smile. However, Miranda could feel his anxiousness. "I don't know about that," Abby said, her smile instantly gone. "Where is the orb?" "With me, as always," he said, taking it out from beneath his robe. It was a small black marble that, at first glance, was utterly unimpressive. He had fixed it on a chain to wear it around his neck, though it wasn't recognized as a necklace by the system. As they spoke, Miranda couldn't avoid noticing the other people also appearing all around them. She saw quite a few standing on the cliffs above looking down on them, while others jumped down to surround the lodge. She counted more than 100.
"So, you aren't going to run this time?" she asked, her gaze still cold. "My offer still stands. Give me the orb and all of your equipment. The same goes for your comrades too, of course."
At this point, Miranda was tired of being ignored.
"Excuse me, miss. While I don't mean to cut into your family dispute, I would like to point out that you stand on another's land."
"Shut the fuck up, you fucking whore, before I rip your head off!"
she roared at Miranda, entirely out of nowhere, before just as swiftly returning to having the smile she'd had before.
"I am speaking to my dear cousin here, and not you."
Miranda was utterly taken aback, and so was Hank and the others observing from the house too. Neil's party, on the other hand, didn't appear that phased.
"She is speaking the truth, though. This land and lodge are owned by someone else," Neil said calmly.
They had already discussed earlier to try and drag out time as much as possible. Not that they knew it would help anything. Miranda still had a slight hope that the city owner would feel it when so many intruded upon the area.
"Oh, really? So where is this owner of yours?"
Abby sneered, clearly not taking him seriously.
"Just cut the bullshit. Orb and all your stuff in a pile on the ground within the next minute. The same goes for your new friends, too."
Neil hesitated at this sudden ultimatum. The plan of buying time was not working at all. Miranda was completely unable to string together any semblance of a plan. The other party was far too hostile and unstable to argue with.
"You just want all of us to strip. And then what?"
Kristen cut in, clearly annoyed. She was clearly still in pain, even after the wound looked healed on the surface.
"Got the curse fixed, it looks like. Dad can be a bit heavy-handed."
Abby laughed.
"And, well, you strip naked, and then, if I feel like it, I will let you live. I am sure that a couple of the guys would be inclined to let you keep your head."
"Abby, don't joke like that," her father said in a playful tone.
"Oh, shut up, old man. You can have her."
Miranda felt the gazes of several of the men land on her body, but she didn't feel any lecherous intent or lust, just pity. The worst offender was the damn father who'd had his eyes on her from the very beginning. Hank's face turned red in fury, and he barely managed to hold himself back from going on a futile rampage as the man even threw Louise and the lodge a quick look.
What the hell happened to you?
Neil sighed with genuine sadness in his eyes.
A lot of things, cuz. None of which is any of your damn concern. And by the way,
Abby raised her hand,
the minute is up.
An explosion sounded out as the very space in front of Neil and Miranda was torn apart. But just as quickly as it shattered, it was solidified again by Neil, who also raised his hand, a white glow emanating from it. Both were still forced back. However, Miranda could see that Neil was outmatched. The attack also served as an opening shot for all hell to break loose. Levi was the first to move. He was clearly already prepared to go.
Acceleration, he internally muttered as he sped forward. Imbue blade, fire, imbue armor, wind.
His blade was enveloped in an inferno of flames, and his body turned into a tornado as he soared forward. A magic swordsman, one of his own design, with explosive strength unmatched by any other in their group. Simultaneously, as he charged forward, a barrage of arrows was launched at Abby by Eleanor. She simply raised her hand and erected a barrier, but it was just a distraction. It gave Neil enough time to use another skill as Levi was teleported to the top of the cliff amid a group of low-level archers and casters. Kristen also charged forward, her target being the man at Abby's side, the one who had inflicted the cursed wound on her in their last clash. And he happily met her once more as he drew a red scimitar from his scabbard. Glowing veins covered it soon after as he used a skill to make it into a cursed blade. They smashed into each other. It looked like an equal battle at first sight, but it truly wasn't. Kristen was a heavy warrior focused on strength and toughness, a hybrid who used not only her physical stats. Silas was forced to support her as the scimitar moved in unpredictable patterns, making her block with her shield repeatedly. Silas tried to assist in healing or redirecting blows whenever possible, but even then it was barely even. Neil and Abby also engaged in a duel that looked like they were just staring at each other. But the space in between them shimmered and cracked, and it was as if reality itself was slowly being shattered. Eleanor had tried to keep assaulting Abby, but soon found herself the main target of the hundreds of people surrounding them. They all avoided the two other big battles as they headed for her, forcing her to run away. Hank suffered the same fate as he tried to keep enemies off him. His level was at the high end for sure. Some of the attackers weren't even 25 yet, but the sheer number made him unable to fight back properly, and the wounds on his body kept getting more numerous. It took only a few minutes for the result of their skirmish to be made clear. Kristen took a nasty cut to her cheek and screamed in pain. Silas tried to help, but had also found himself the victim of the many attackers. Neil bled from his orifices as he still struggled to keep Abby in check. In turn, she looked relatively relaxed, enjoying the carnage around her. In her eyes, the result of the battle had been clear from the beginning. The only ones who had managed to damage her camp were Eleanor, Hank, and Levi. Hank and Eleanor were mainly in the process of defending themselves. Levi was the only one who had done any real damage, having killed nearly a dozen people before his many enhancements ran out of power, and he also found himself overwhelmed.
Retreat into the lodge,
Miranda yelled as she dodged a fireball flying her way. None of the fighters hesitated to do as she said. As planned, everyone besides Levi was right outside the protective formation. Levi, hearing the call to retreat, activated acceleration once more and sped up significantly, practically flying towards the lodge. Abby saw this attempt to retreat and raised both hands towards the fleeing swordsman.
Oh, no, you don't.
Neil did the same as he tried to help his comrade. All Miranda saw next was everything looking skewed. Space itself shifted as if two planes of existence tried to overlap, with Levi right in the middle. The next thing she felt was her face being covered in liquid as space returned to normal once more. The lower half of a human still remained where Levi had been just moments prior. Turning almost in slow motion, she saw Levi's upper body on the steps of the lodge. His entrails dragged on the ground.